Hello, hello, and welcome back to the A Show with the Kings, a pro wrestling podcast. I am Justin, the birthday boy, here with Meals. What's up, Meals?
Happy birthday, bro. I'm here recovering from a cold, but I'm still here somehow. I feel like I've been powered by WrestleMania.
I'm recovering also from a from beating the cold's ass. Like, I was like, I gotta beat this cold's ass. So I preemptively whipped the cold ass before it got to like peak. You know, like when you're like, I'm feeling it coming on, and most people are like, I'm not gonna do nothing about it. I'm gonna let it hit. I said, nah.
I think we caught something from doing the 5-hour show last week.
Yeah.
Which in my opinion, no, actually, forget the opinion. That will never happen again. Just a sidebar. Everyone, shout out to everyone who loved it. Shout out to everyone who listened. Shout out to everyone who was like, thank you guys for putting out this thing and blah, 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 blah. It will never be 5 hours again. I'm just letting you guys
know. It was so massive and like such a huge audio file that like.
And we just talk.
there were like moment and apologies to like the people who listened and were like, there's a bunch of shit fucked up here. It was such a big file that it was actually crashing Patreon. It was crashing Patreon. And because it was crashing Patreon, it made it so that I had to split the show in two, which made it so that I actually had to make two different versions of the show, one for regular listeners. And again, this isn't a complaint, but I'm just the how massive it was. It was nearly a gigabyte of audio that we had.
And this is not WAV files. Like, this is standard, regular. Actually, it might be, I don't know. No, oh, it wasn't a WAV file.
It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. It was with MP3s. And just the amount of stuff that was on there. Because remember, the way that we edit every audio as separate stems. So I had to, like, edit everything down. There were just the days that we did it and all of that stuff. Like, it was a huge undertaking, way larger than was before, even if we had kind of like, and what was even crazier was that people have been DMing me like, I want to get on the show next year, and I'm like, I'm like, oh wow, like a lot of people have they really do listen to the show. It's really like our most popular show of the year, you know.
I agree. You know what we should do? We should get people. Let's, while we're both unemployed, let's get people. I got a story to tell you, by the way, but let's okay. Let's get people to let's get people back on the show. We still have our Rumble pool winners. We need to get on the show. Let's get a bunch of people on the show, and hopefully, I'm hoping through the best guests that we have on over this year. So, if you're interested in being on the show, through the best guests, the best ones will get invited to the WrestleMania prediction party next year. And that'll be that. And we'll make it a much shorter show, a much concise, but still entertaining show. But let's figure that out. But
shout out to Jeff J, Stat Guy Greg, Bands. Was that it? Was everybody? That was everybody. That was it.
Yeah.
Shout out to all y'all for being there.
If we recorded this 20 years ago, it would have been like an 8-disc CD. It would have been a fucking 4 VHS tape. It would have been like the Titanic twice.
How crazy that was. So big. It had like 2 discs or 2 tapes.
When I saw it was that and Metal Gear Solid for me, I was like, what is going on here?
The world getting bigger, man.
The world's getting like, we can't fit it on one disc. A game that's not on one disc. What the fuck is this?
It's crazy about Metal Gear Solid is that if you played it, like the second disc is like just the rest of that one area. Like it's not the gameplay. It's literally just like the last hour of the game is on the second disc.
That's hilarious as hell. That's the 90s and early 2000s for you.
Yeah.
Did you have any FOMO this year not being in WrestleMania?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I knew what it was. We had a huge conversation about the makeup of Philly last year when they announced it, right? Remember that, Mills?
We did.
And I said, I'm not going to go to Philly because I know it will still be cold. And there was a big argument like, no, it's not going to be cold. Sick, y'all can't handle 60 degrees. I'm like, that's a different 60 than my 60. Your 60 is not my 60.
Philly's 60 is different. Philly's freeway. That's 60 degrees, baby. The skull caps with the brims on it.
A lot of people felt that over the weekend. And a good friend of mine, Wale, was there.
When the heat stopped working and the I gotta rob me a person.
He was there and he said, he texted me and said, do we look cold? He said, it's brick out here. And I said, yeah, because y'all ain't making no noise at all. <Yeah.
laughs> Drewski and Winnie Harlow and all these other people. And I'm just like, God damn.
They need not do that anymore. Real shit.
Yeah, I agree. It honestly, it makes me think that's the reason why they haven't announced next year's city yet.
Uh-huh. Because they're rethinking it. If it was supposed to be Minnesota or whatever the hell they were trying to do, I bet you it's not no more. I bet you it's not anymore.
I don't. Yeah, no. Because them wrestlers are just even when the wrestlers complain, I'm like, oh, all right, yeah, it's cold. I mean, yeah, they should be the ones to complain, but like usually, like they're like, no, we tough it out, we do. They're like, nah, Randy Orton in his skimmies doing backflips in freezing weather.
Yeah.
That's a nah.
No, sir. I think that you could tell, but as far as FOMO, like I'm you know, I have FOMO for the fact that like I miss seeing the homies. You know, East Coast Mania is so different because a lot of y'all are just like in one area. So like it's a lot easier to get all of y'all together for East Coast Mania than it would be for like any other. Like I would hope that if you know, it comes to the West again, that we could get more people representing. But, you know, it's just fun to see everybody get together in one place. And I think that's the only FOMO that I have. But as far as the show, it's been the first time I watched the Mania at home in 3 years. So it was nice. It was a nice change of pace. I wasn't tired as hell.
Right.
By the end of it. So, yeah.
Listen, man, it looks fun. I also don't have FOMO. I mean, there's nothing really I can do. I did, and then I was like, let me see how this job thing turns out.
Yeah.
That was the only thing in my brain for, like, pretty much when everyone was like, we should get tickets. I was like, let me wait till January. Let me wait till February. Oh, okay, I'm unemployed. Okay. So that's kind of what I wanted to worry about. But, yeah, listen, this weekend, overarching thoughts on WrestleMania this weekend. Super successful, super massive.
Yeah.
Good time.
It felt like pages to a book. So I think a lot of people, and we'll talk about night one later, after night one felt like, how are they gonna pull this off for night two? Because night one felt like night twos usually have, right? Like, if that makes sense, like night one for this year felt like the night twos of the past,
right?
And we were like, okay, but then night two just blows it out of the water because it's you turn the chapter. But one thing about night two was that you saw a lot of the characters from night one return, and I thought that was again like you're building a show where the principal characters don't disappear from one night to the next. And I think that was always kind of the challenge with these Manias, is that you're going to see Roman and Cody one night, right? Mm. And you're going to see this person one night, and they're not going to return. But what you have is a cast of characters that they built for the past 365 days that were all throughout the show and treated like stars. So I think that my overarching is that it's one of my favorite Manias of all time when looked at in totality. If it's just night one, yeah, maybe, you know, what is not the best. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think night two on its own, to me, stands alone. Putting them together, I think it really is probably, if not the best, one of the best Manias of all time, just in totality.
This felt the biggest. This felt like a sign of the times. This felt like 40. This felt like, and what is everyone kind of dubbing it now? And I'm not really like the name of it isn't really selling me, but we'll get there. But people are dubbing this as the Paul Levesque era.
And let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I think this weekend was really far and away the moment that everyone was waiting for this company to do. Everyone's like, when are they going to say something? When are they going to say something? When are they going to address this? And I of course, I wasn't in that kind of boat. They didn't have to say anything. I think ultimately at the end of the day, they didn't have to say anything. You know what I mean? But I think in a public facing perspective, I think it's crisis comms done correctly in a lot of ways, because you send out the people that really make the audience feel safe. Triple H is a character that makes people feel safe. Stephanie McMahon is a character or a person or a personality that makes people feel safe. Paul Heyman, a person or character or personality that makes people feel safe. The Rock is another person that makes people. They trotted out the fave. John Cena, everyone there was them saying, hey, it's okay now. We got this. You know what I mean? I think that we keep saying this every year. This is the beginning of the new era. This is the beginning of the new era. This is the beginning of something different. You know what I mean? We've been saying that for years and years since 38. Like, we were like, this is a changing of the guard. Finally, for sure, this felt like a changing of the guard. I would also say, like, I felt like we felt like SummerSlam 2022 was that too, right? But then he came back.
Right. But I still count it as the Paul Levesque. All of this is still, well, I don't even want to call it the Paul Levesque era because it seems very, it's like, I get it, but also this feels, Paul Levesque is a major part of it, but he isn't the only part of it. You know what I'm saying? Right. And a lot of it is the savviness of Nick Khan. A lot of this is kind of like the talent that's also on the roster. A lot of this is the kind of minds working behind the scenes to make this kind of feel really crossover, really breakthrough, really defining culture at this time. And this was the most viewed WrestleMania. We talked about this last week, judging from kind of like everything that they put down, social wise, every day there was fucking something. Every day I was like, god damn, I get, like, you know, we got an interview here, we got an interview there, Michael Cole's hosting this, the Pat McAfee shows at WWE World, by the way, seemed like a great crazy.
That was the, I'm lying, that was the FOMO shit, because we got terrible everything last year in LA, and now in Philly got everything, but go ahead, sorry.
No, WWE World looked amazing, but they had so much. They would not stop letting you know it was WrestleMania season. Even so much that essentially a throwaway SmackDown ended up being the highest rated SmackDown since pretty much before the pandemic, actually. Like,
yeah.
As it's still at the beginning of Fox's term on SmackDown. It was like that. It's like 2 months afterwards as they were starting to decline, to be honest with you. But the fact that SmackDown, almost 2.6 million viewers.
Crazy.
It's nuts. They had a stranglehold on this week. They let you know they did this thing properly. And I give my props to all their PR, and I give their props to all their marketing, and kind of like everyone who's really like, yo, let's make this as big as possible. Let's come up with all these great ideas. Let's do this live content thing. Let's make this as massive as possible. And I really think, like, this is really a stepping stone for them to get bigger, to be honest with you.
Here's the thing. You were worried about there being too much.
There to be still fair, was too much.
It was too much, but it all had meaning. It was all meaningful, bro. Like, right. I can't... Everything that had a tagline or WWE thing there had a shareable moment there. Charlotte shows up. Punk was on nearly everything. Even, like, the kickoff thing kind of has some cool stuff. I like that they do those kickoff things. I think the kickoff things are cool, and they add another hype. It's like the UFC. It's very UFC, like the weigh-ins. And wrestling doesn't have weigh-ins. They do the kickoff events with the fans outside. It shows how, like, crazy it is. Like, I think the reason why, and it might be too much for us, but it also, we live in the age of FOMO. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really care too much because we're a little bit kind of past that era, but it's for people who can't be there to say that when we are in your city, this is what we're going to have, and you'll be able to show up to all of this stuff. They made it can't miss. I want to see how much money they made in Philadelphia or for the city last weekend. You know what I mean? Because, like, I know that all those events meant something. WWE World probably meant a lot to a lot of people there and brought in so much traffic. Like, that's what matters. And I think that even if I wasn't watching, every time I go on Discord, there'd be something people were showing me. There'd be something I see online. Everything was created by content. They're, like, I'm to be real, Meals, other than one thing that happened with another wrestling company that we'll talk about later on in the show, every single conversation about wrestling was WWE last weekend. As badly as people online would try and make you say, would try and say this was indoctrination. You see that tweet where it was like, it sucks that they don't want you to like other things. I'm like, well, tell them to step they fucking pussy game up. Wow. Like, that just is what it is.
Like, I mean, essentially, like, they're really giving you the blueprint of how it's done. Even if you don't have the amount of resources to be able to do it, you want to make it. They've done this thing where they've made it this big community, massive event. Massive, you're flying out with your friends, you're flying out with your people, you're seeing people you haven't met for a long, long time. Like, it's gone beyond a wrestling event. Mm-hmm. It's good, and then it's hilarious. Well, we'll talk about it. But it's massive. And it started, I want to get into some of the events and stuff that happened. But, I mean, we can skip SmackDown. But NXT Stand and Deliver.
Mm-hmm.
What are your kind of thoughts? Who came out good to you on this show? What came out maybe not as good? How do you kind of feel about the show?
And be clear, to this week's show, because it's my birthday, I'm giving you guys a gift. As a gift to you guys, this show is going to be free for everybody. So don't worry about it. It's on me this week. Listen, Stand and Deliver was way better than last year. I did not like last year's show. I was ready to put NXT on the clock, so to speak, after last year, after all of that stuff. But again, the period around Mania last year was just weird because Vincent came back anyway. So it was very much like head scratching decisions that they made there.
Did you see the video of him like or out in New York City?
No, I didn't see that. What was that?
You fucking look old as shit, bro. He still has his cane. I don't know if it was an old video. But he still has his cane. Because of the surgery, he hasn't worked out. So he's just man skinny now. And he still has that mustache, which is just weird as hell.
When you lose all your money and influence, this is what happens.
It's like that Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns loses all his money and he's trying to worry about catsup or ketchup. It's like one of those.
I think that everyone in this came off really well. I think that you notice, and I said this last week, that they literally only had their workers on this show. It wasn't like no developmental cats. It was people that have been on TV for 2 years or more, right? Yeah, if I want to say people who came off that look the best, probably Tony D. I think Tony D was definitely on the clock in terms of will he be a Grayson Waller? Will he be a Melo? Will he be a, you know what I mean? Like, he hadn't had an opportunity like this. And Ilya Dragunov is the measuring stick, much like he was for Trick Williams. And you kind of see how he's positioned. We'll talk about Ilya a little bit later. But I think that the character has evolved as such that it actually is not a meme. It's actually kind of believable. He's kind of in his final form of the main roster look and feel of what he would be. I thought he held his own. I thought it was a really good match. I thought it was actually more than good. I thought there were moments where it was great. But I think that he showed me the most out of everything. And then probably second to that is probably fucking Dijak goes without saying, but I thought that Josh Briggs showed a lot. And that triple threat was amazing. But I think everyone really came off really well, though.
I think so as well. I think it's interesting how much the show was centered around Trick and Carmelo. I don't think that was their... I think they could have a better match, is what I'm saying. But I thought the moment itself was good. Tony D did great work. To me, it was passable. To me, it's like, I'm still looking. I think when they have that next match, he's going to take... I want him to like turn the heat up more. Like, turn it up more. Like, this is, you got to meet the moment with this kind of thing. Like, this is why you're not in the main event. Show people why you're in the main, not in the fucking, you should be in the main event of this shit. Like, so I thought that. I thought all the women did amazing. I thought all the women killed it. That six woman tag was fire.
Hey, I said, Roxanne, Lyra, they had women's match of the year for like 24 hours. was like, shit. Yeah, I was like, yo, I gotta beat that. And then they cleared it in 24 hours. So.
But they did a great job. And like you said, the triple threat match as well, amazing. Like, this was, these people knew what weekend it was and how to meet the weekend. So they did a great job with this. It's the highest, you know, attended NXT show ever. Which is just like 16,000 people for NXT.
Mm-hmm. Like,
come on.
It's not. For a show that hasn't been doing great in ratings, I think, again, the idea of the WWE being in your town means you have to see it. But I also think that, like, again, we're in a moment where it's time for them to shuffle the deck. And you know, I think that this was a show where we're going to see a lot of people for the last time.
Right. But so, like you said, it was part of the package thing. Like SmackDown, I mean, SmackDown, Raw, they brought out the tiny stages for those. They were like, listen, mm-hmm. we got too many niggas in here.
I like the tiny stages because it gives attitude era to me. Like, I like the tiny stages, man. Like, I really fuck with them.
It feels like, it feels like money in a different way. Mm-hmm. So that we had a couple hours break. I'm trying to recover my life. WrestleMania. It begins. We get a lot of great stuff here on this day one, but also, you know, some not great stuff on day one.
There's one not thing. I've never been more sad to be wrong in my life.
Honestly. Let's kick things off. I want to actually go through. It's WrestleMania. We can go through a match by match. We don't have to spend too much time on every match, but we can go through a match by match. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Rhea Ripley defeats Becky Lynch to retain the Women's World Championship.
Mm.
Didn't I tell you, bro?
You did?
I tell you? It was Rhea Ripley.
When I saw the book roll out, I say, yeah. And then...
When they revealed that Becky had strep throat, I was like, what is she doing here?
When they revealed that, I said, oh, they're not going to go that hard then. It's already 45 degrees. This is where you kind of started to see that it was the energy was like very cold in the building. And I was like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. It felt very much like this is the first of many to me, this match.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to me, like, I felt like this match had another. It didn't feel like the end all kind of cataclysmic thing that happened last year with Rhea, with Charlotte. But because of the circumstances, I do feel like they did a great job given what was there, given how cold it was, given a lot of things. Shout out to New York City behind me. But solid match.
Yeah.
I'm giving it solid by their standards. Great in other standards, but like solid by their standards. I think they got another gear and they can pull it out.
Let's do A show ratings, okay? From A from A to D.
Oh,
that's okay. The A show ratings. Is it we to A, of course, A show to D. What do you give this match? I give it a B plus.
I'm gonna give it a B. Yeah. Solid. Did the thing. Six-pack tag team ladder match. We finally got what we wanted.
Yep.
I also called, I was A-Town Down Under or something. I was like, holy fuck, I didn't think they would actually do it, but hell yeah.
Mills booking coming through. That's how you know it's the best Mania ever, because they finally listened to your ass.
I was like, A-Town Down Under, they'd only like SmackDown tag team worth a damn. A-Town Down Under, it's weird reading this on fucking Wikipedia. It says, A-Town Down Under and the Awesome Truth defeated Judgment Day, DIY, New Day, and New Catch Republic by retrieving the SmackDown and Raw championships, respectively. How did you feel like this match went and how it was coordinated? Do you feel like it was probably the best way to go about it?
It was, with all them damn teams. I almost forgot the New Day was in it. I did like that they picked up the SmackDown ones very quickly, because that brand clearly has very little storylines going for it. So they got to kind of build them. I could see a lot of things coming out of A-Town Down Under being tag champions. I could see Pretty Deadly turning face. I could see, of course, New Catch Republic. I could see the Profits of course, going after them at this point. There's a lot of, you know, the moan there, but there were none of those teams in that match. So, like, other than the New Catch Republic, so, like, I get it. They pretty much didn't do anything after they won it, huh?
No. They went through a ladder, and that was kind of that. To be honest with you, I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't remember the specifics about anything in this match.
There was the ladder spot that Drewski responded to for the Gargano did. Big spot. Right.
I remember Tommaso Ciampa jumping off the ladder, doing his move, his Emerald Fusion move. And that's really kind of it. Not to say that it was a bad match, but I guess there's so many multi-man ladder matches that have existed. Like, they all kind of just, the spots kind of just blur together. But with that said, very entertaining match. It did what it was supposed to do. I would give this, I mean, it's not bad. B-.
Yeah, B-. I would give that too, bro. I give that up too.
Okay, all right. Here we have presented by what was this presented by Agua Fresca?
Yeah, Agua Fresca. My wife laughed at this so much, and that's the funny thing about it is that, like, some people would look at that as like, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever. I'm like, y'all do know that they got to sell to people. Like, some people are not going to be rocking with Miller Lite. You know what I mean? Some people are going to rock with Agua Fresca or Chicken. This is what it is.
Should I say this on here? I pitched on a campaign for Agua Fresca and my job.
Yeah.
And this is who they want to target.
Yeah. The thing about it is they target it because when you target, you know, when you target certain demographics, they will buy it. 18 to 36, 18 to 24, whatever, they will buy it. Like, I again, you have to remember, these people who comment on it, they have never had, like, real jobs in their life.
Right, so, right. The only thing I would have done with the Wingstop, I would have flagged the buckets of chicken. I would have said we could put something else there.
Maybe that's just the logo.
But you got to show the product.
You got to show the product, man.
No, right. Of course. But, like, at least they have, like, real size. You know what?
Unpopular opinion, Popeyes would have been way wilder.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Popeyes would have been way wilder than Wingstop. Let's just be real. Popeyes would have been way wilder than Wingstop.
But Wingstop?
Right?
No. Yeah, no. You're right. Like, Wingstop, you see, what's my man's name? Oh, my God. Who did the Black Forces Undertaker and the White Forces Undertaker? Desi Banks. They got him for Wingstop, too. I'm like, they obviously know who they're catering for. Like, come on, man. With that said, Rey Mysterio Andrade defeats Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
With a little help. From some
SmackDown. SmackDown.
I gave that a C.
The Herb got Herb.
I gave that a C. You're talking about, I thought you were going to another match. You're talking about Dragon Lee.
No, I was talking about Dragon Lee. Yes, the Herb got Herb. He got booted out the match. Andrade comes. He saves. He turns on Dominic out of nowhere. I was like, what the fuck was the last 4 weeks about?
What do you think? No, seriously though, and jokes aside, what do you think the issue is with Dragon Lee right now? Because I think that, like, he has rubbed some people the wrong way, and I think it's something that people need to be, like, kind of questioning or asking questions about. Because the moment that you found out that he didn't do his visa stuff or something, like, whatever happened with that visa, it's been downhill from there for him. Like, what do you think is going on?
Dragon Lee doesn't have presence at all.
Like, I don't think it's that.
I think it's that. I think it's legitimately, like, he doesn't turn the page. He doesn't grab people's attention. There's no kind of, like, interesting factor to him other than he's really good at what he does. And that's why I feel like a lot of past luchadors in the past, no offense to, like, Sin Cara and Kalisto and, like, Grand Metalik and a lot of people who came in the post-Mysterio, I feel like they always try to capture what Rey Mysterio was and understand the heritage of the mask and understanding the heritage of Luchador. But I feel like it's very, they don't do the best to connect those people as if they're actually real people. other than like he's a luchador, he comes from this, he's looked up to Rey Mysterio. It's all like kind of like that. I feel like they need to present him in a way that's actually like he's a person who's cool, who does things, and isn't just like Rey Mysterio's like buddy. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like he hasn't connected in any kind of way.
Yeah. I think that like I really think he's in a doghouse. This is doghouse booking 101. Seriously. It's doghouse booking 101. I think that the way that they present him is just not the way they present other new talent. Tiffany Stratton doesn't even get treated like this.
Like I want to see more out of him though. I mean, he gets opportunities. It's not like he's not fucking there. But it's just, to me, it reminds me of like what they've done with Apollo in the past, and even some instances what they do with Ricochet in the past. Like, they know that this guy's talented and they want to give him the opportunity to be able to show off that talent, but also it has to connect. And usually right. That's where things kind of like fall short. But Andrade,
he looked good.
He looked good. I'm not sure if he connects, but he looked good.
I think that's why they're kind of slowly sliding him back with Zelina, because that was the one. And the thing is, that is Triple H kind of big braining it in a good way. Right. I think that you get him back with the person where you get him back to who brought him to the game. And Zelina for sure brought him to the game. And I think getting them back together is the best thing that you could do.
Also, it's very likely that I feel like it's also very likely that Dragon Lee was never supposed to be in this match. Like,
true.
It may have been just a vehicle for Carlito's turn and to have someone that he can kind of like bully around, boss around. Because Andrade's proximity to Dominic Mysterio has to make sense somehow. Like, he's been following him around for like 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, like,
it's very possible.
I thought the Rey and Andrade tag team moves were also dope. I loved everything about that.
Crossbody? Come on, man. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck was that?
That was hard. I'm all for babyface Andrade. I think he's going to be dope. I think pitting him with I like the Latin King storyline. All right. I think that the loyalty storyline is pretty cool. And I like that they're continuing it.
I agree. And shout to everyone. You know, they're doing this thing now where everyone is kind of like, you're a part of the match no matter what. Everyone comes out in their gear. Everyone comes and does like cool things. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, in the end, you know what I mean? Rey Mysterio comes out on top. He said, I ain't putting nobody over at Mania. Maybe SmackDown. Maybe a couple little house shows. I'm not putting nobody over at Mania, not even my own son. I for sure thought that the heels were going to win. That did not happen, but good look for Dominic. Good look for the LWO. I mean, this essentially turned into like an AEW match midway through. With just everyone doing shit. So really cool. I really fuck with it.
Did you hear my niece in the background, by the way?
I did. I think she was telling me happy birthday.
She was, yeah. We have a mirror out there. She likes looking at herself in the mirror. And then she also has learned to say yes repeatedly. So she now just looks in the mirror and claps and say yes, yes, yes all the time.
Exactly.
So that is what we do. So if you hear her in the background, that's that. Let's come to one of the most disappointing matches of the entire card. Not brother versus brother.
The most disappointing, yes.
Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. We questioned what this would actually look like.
Mm-hmm.
The answer was not that good.
I don't know who produced this. I don't know if they got a chance to do it or they just ran out of time to actually book something for these guys. But and the thing about it is, Mills, is that I don't think this is the last match between these two. I really don't. I think that what's happening with Jey right now is they're setting up for more bloodline stuff with him and Jimmy. Right. But it was short. I don't know what went over time or what needed more time. In fact, a lot of the matches on night one moved out the way, largely because of the main event. But this was definitely one of them. And I'm wrong. I was wrong. It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, it was kind of stinky. Didn't even really pay attention to it either. But here we are.
18 super kicks. 18 super kicks and, you know, a spear and a splash ended it all. And, you know, I thought that their moment in night two was just way better than this match. So.
I agree. next matchup. Well, we'll talk about Jey Uso also came out with Lil Wayne. That was kind of cool.
That felt rushed too. I felt like something was cut for time here. It was just very odd.
Yeah. A milli, and then he was like, all right.
One verse.
Yeah.
It's on you. It's on you. It's on you. It's on you.
Oh my God. Good energy. Next is the 6-woman tag team match. Which to me kind of like felt like, I don't know if it's just maybe it's a black thing. This felt like the highlight of night as far as the women for me. Am I bugging?
No, I mean it was a lot of excitement. It was a new character being introduced, which is always exciting. And it was a different look. The energy just changed. It shifted. I think from here to the end of the night, it was just they were cooking. Yeah. I know a lot of people said that they expected more out of the 6-woman tag. I don't know why. I don't know how.
Who's on the other side? This is a fucking super team.
Yeah, like I don't know why you needed much more than this. It built to the hot tag, and there you have it. You know what I'm saying? Here you have it. They cooked. They did what they had to do. They got out the way and they helped make somebody at WrestleMania. It's a moment. It's a moment. What's wrong with that?
It's more than a moment. It's the big three. That's big pretty three. Tight.
Come on, man. And again. Again, Tony Khan is a fucking idiot. He's a fucking idiot. Bro. He never did anything this fucking meaningful. I don't care what anyone says. They're just doing it to stick it to him. I'm like, no, that's not the truth. Because look at how they present the rest of their fucking stars at this show. If you have a star, you treat them like one.
Did you see how glowingly they talked about this moment after the match?
Yes.
How much they were enjoying themselves, how much they... While it's not like the championship match, but it's still like a meaningful moment to all three of them.
Yes. And then even CM Punk, the way he talked about it, he said it straight up in the pre-show. Right. Three black women. Say it. Say it. She was never treated like anything more than like fuck that Goldberg shit. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit don't mean nothing. She was beating up paint cans. She was in the ring with Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai, Asuka in her first match. Champions.
Right.
Come on, man. He's a fucking idiot.
They look like stars. They came off as stars. Everyone, the match did what it's supposed to. We were supposed to be giving grades to this shit. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. The last, I gave that a D. It was the worst match on the weekend. It was the worst match of the weekend. All shows included, including NXT, was the worst match of the weekend.
Ray and Andrade, what do you
give it a C?
C? Okay, I'll give your grades. The 6-woman tag team match. I'm gonna give it a B because it did what it's supposed to do. It's nothing more that I could request from this match. Massive moment on the card coming up. This was huge. And I feel like it's huge because we asked this question, and I feel like low-key we were the only ones asking this question. Of like, can Sami Zayn beat Gunther at WrestleMania? Like, let's take a real look at it. Given the status of what Sami Zayn is in the company, given where Gunther is, kind of its reign, given the kind of place that we're at, given kind of everything that we're here for, can Sami Zayn actually do it? And I think a lot of people, one, were upset that Chad Gable wasn't in this position. But also, two, kind of just wrote this off as another Intercontinental title defense. And I'm like, Sami Zayn is someone who they really do value in this company.
Absolutely.
And this absolutely showed. I feel like this made him, like, this is another major notch in his career. Like, this is this is an amazing moment. Talk about this match.
I was worried. I think that when you have a match like this, you never really know. And again, everyone's looking at the match like, well, this person can't win because that means Cody won't win. I think everything's looked at in the vacuum of, will we go home happy on night two, right? So it's like, we can't have too many babyface wins, right? But I thought it was pretty balanced. I think it's pretty balanced with the babyface to heel wins. It might be more babyfaces won this year, probably, than ever. I think a lot of the babyfaces came out on top. But I think that when you go in this match, you saw the wife, you saw the kid, and I was like, oh no, we're looking at Mick Foley, Rock, Royal Rumble, I quit match type shit, right?
Right.
But when you get to this match, there was just so much aura.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the KO thing, I almost shed a tear. And again, Meals, there's something to be said about Triple H and his team making these moments mean something, man. Like, how the fuck was we watching that Vince McMahon shit for so long, bro? I felt like honestly we were trying to squeeze blood from a stone. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't all bad.
It wasn't all bad. But I don't think that there were moments that we go back and remember like we do these past 3 years. You know what I'm saying? We were there from 2017 all the way up to now. You know what I mean? And we haven't felt this way after a Mania in a long time, bro.
Triple H said at the post thing, he's like, it's incredibly hard in this climate to make a baby face.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you do the work, if you build in the narratives, if you tell a good story, if you put them in positions where they feel sympathy instead of positions where they're like made to look cool or anything over there, and they can still look cool, but you got to put them in positions of sympathy to be able to connect with those characters, you're usually going to get a great result. Like, it's not... Vince's era was more about manufacturing faces.
Right.
Using this formula that they use when it worked for Hulk Hogan, and then again they used it for Bret Hart, and then they tried to use it again for Stone Cold and all the John Cena and all these other things like that, where H is now focused on compelling stories, narratives, and connections. And it's all over this card, and this is really the culmination of one of those big moments. Sami Zayn defeated Gunther in an incredible match. Mm-hmm. And he got his ass whooped.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked Sami to win because I just felt right. But I also knew that Gunther was acting in ways he had never acted before.
He was cocky. And again, what makes the most sense, Meals, is that they have been building the cocky Gunther reign for months. For months, he has been this way.
Eyes on the Miz and all this other shit like that.
And ultimately, a lot of the comeuppances that happened to the heels on the show have been built for months, years, in some instances. And here you had Gunther and Sami going at each other. They were slapping the shit out of each other. It sounded like gunshots. Okay, yeah. And I said it last week. I said, I feel like Sami got another one of them Nakamura moments, right? And I thought this was better than Nakamura match, of course. But like he really like turned it up. You know what I mean? He turned it up to another level here. And I mean, what was your favorite spot of the whole thing? I mean, obviously everyone's gonna talk about the brainbuster spot. So besides
talk about the brainbuster spot, I'm gonna be honest with you.
That move was the first ROH DVD I ever bought. It was their I believe it was their debut, or maybe one or two matches that they're of him and Kevin Steen's first match in the ROH, and I saw him do that move, and I was a fan from the moment that I watched, and I always bought DVDs that had matches with him in it just to see that move again, because it really turned up my love him and CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
That move and CM Punk turned up my love for independent wrestling, you know what I'm saying, at that time. And seeing that again on such a big stage, I said, oh, Vince is gone. Like, for real gone. Like, Vince is really gone. Because he would never allow no shit like that. And you know why it meant something? Because we never fucking see it. We never see it. And that's why it meant something. We don't see it every week. And that's why it meant something.
We only see it every month. This is legitimately the first time he said it in WWE.
Yeah. Made me think I was getting a package pile driver, and I said, oh, hold on, nigga. You ain't getting that.
Kevin KO was like, well, I don't know about that. I'll use that shit when I win. Nah, this was incredible. Like, and just telling the story, his wife being there and all this other things like that, and him picking up this major win. It got the very cold crowd out of their seats for some reason.
He beat the 666 day reign of Gunther.
That's a nasty number, baby.
Come on.
It was incredible. Let's get to the main event.
Woo boy. 44 minutes, not counting the pre-tape, the promo, and the entrances. I was so mad, man. I was so mad because I thought that Seth and Cody were going to come out together, but it makes sense why they did it. It was cute. But listen, man.
How did The Rock do?
What did we get the Sami Gunther match? I thought it was match of the night. I gave it an A+.
Yeah, give it an A+ for sure.
But listen, man. I felt he was good in moments where he didn't have to do a bunch of the running and stuff. Like, they did a lot of stuff to protect him. I will say that. And I don't think the match was bad. It was not a net bad. I'm going to give it an A because I thought it did what it needed to do. Mm. There was drama. There was work with the three, Cody, Seth, Roman. They were working. They were working real hard. I would say this is probably the most shocked I am at Roman Reigns because he was working his ass off all weekend. He came into Mania the best shape of his life.
Absolutely.
He looked like 2021 Roman again this weekend. Like, he knew he was ready for the assignment. And I think that when you're a top guy like that, when it's time to do the work, he really showed up. And, you know, and kudos to him. And I'll say it again before we even, you know, when we talk about the main event, like, he did everything he needed to do to make this feel like it was the crowning of a new era, right?
Right.
I think with Rock, it was him hitting his moments and hitting his spots because ultimately he wasn't in the match that much, but he was always affecting it on the outside, the belt slap, dragging the ref out, getting all that stuff out of there. I would have liked more dissension. Like, the spear to the Rock part was amazing. Okay. And to me, that's when the match turned up.
This thing is a fool.
That's when it turned up and it was like, okay, he's turning up here. It could have shaved 15 minutes off, I thought. I thought it went a little long. It was losing the people that were in my house watching. It was losing them at like the 15-minute mark. With all the rest holds, I was like, is he tired already? Like, all of that shit. Like, it was a lot. But I thought that when it was time for him to hit his spots, taking that Cody cutter the way he did was awesome. Taking the stomp was awesome. Again, his selling is what was not bad. I think that just the in-between stuff, I was like, okay, he's moving a little bit more gingerly than I thought. But ultimately, it happened the way that we thought it did, in the exact way we expected it to, with Rock pinning Cody at the end of the match.
To me, this was, again, one of those matches that just does what it's supposed to do. Like, it just did. It's supposed to, the looming threat, and to present the essentially Cody Rhodes, who's this massive baby face, to really present the threat that he may not win, to kind of really tell this story. People call it cinema. It felt like cinema. This felt like a story that you play out in a superhero movie. Or, to be honest, that's what I was telling people. I was telling Jamal this the other day. I was like, yo, more people should watch anime, because these types of endings that happen all the fucking time. And this is why I loved it, and this is why I wasn't like completely pressed by anything that was going on. It was great to see all the big spots, Rock getting rock bottom through a table, Meek saying, get up, Rock. All these other people just kind of enjoying the match. You can tell people enjoyed the match nonetheless, like, from the internet response to kind of like everything that happened afterwards. You can tell, like, it really did what it was supposed to do, and people enjoyed the back and forth. And if you wanted to see Rock, you know, and Thing win, you got that. It was just really good. It set the stage for, like, can Cody actually do this? And the answer, people really had to be like, you know, Michael Cole did a great call. He was like, I think it's over for Cody. He's like, it's Bloodline rules tomorrow. it's a wrap.
He said he ain't winning nothing or something like that. I was like, he finished it. No story. I said, damn, Cole, thanks. I was nervous, but again,
I was never nervous. I can't believe you were nervous.
Lock the fuck in.
If this was Vince, I would have been nervous. Vince would have said, and Roman still. And still. He would have done that. He would have beat the shit out of Cody twice in a row.
He said, well, we can make more money with this, right? And then Cody would end up winning it at fucking King and Queen, nigga, in May.
Look at Roman Reigns' documentary, A&E documentary. He didn't beat Brock until fucking SummerSlam in an 8-minute match.
Yeah. Jesus.
And by then it was too late because then his leukemia.
Damn. Is that Vince?
By then his leukemia flared up. And yeah, it was just too late. I'm gonna send you a timestamp for that.
Oh my god! But that was the end of night one. Night two, let's get into it. Night two,
before we hit night two, yeah. We do have. I mean, do you want to do it after Mania? The whole Bucks thing, because it technically happened after night one.
Well, it happened at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, because they aired their failing TV show. At 11:30 that night,
after the college basketball game, they aired Collision, which people actually watched.
That's the shit they had Collision on when you calling your booty call over, bro.
Raw AM and shit, nigga. But they announced that Young Bucks and AEW will be airing the footage from All Out 2022, All In 2022. Be airing the backstage footage from there, and I'm like, in my brain, I was like, how does this serve anything? What does this do?
They are tanking this company at an amazing rate. Okay, this does nothing for anyone. I don't even think we need much to say on this issue.
No,
other than this benefits nobody, because at the end of the day, CM Punk was front and center. Every single day of WrestleMania this week, every single day, smiling faces. You know what happened when he got injured on AEW programming? You didn't see this motherfucker for months. Okay. You know what happened when he got injured on WWE programming?
Out for 8 months, bro. he's been back in like 3 months.
He is fucking low key. I think he's okay. I don't think he's injured anymore. I think he's fine.
The advancements of medical technology.
I think he's fine. If you want to keep it 100, this is big brain here. It might be kind of giving away my thoughts on Raw. I don't think he was ever injured.
You're bugging.
I don't think he was ever injured. I don't think he was ever injured. I don't think he was ever injured.
You're nuts.
We're going to find out. On the documentary that they did announce at the end of night one on Wednesday. We got to review that next week. The WrestleMania documentary should be a good one. Besides the point, what does this hurt? Well, I mean, who does this hurt? I think people's minds are already made up in terms of who was right, who was wrong in the Punk situation.
He wants people to see the truth for themselves. And I'm like, who the fuck cares?
At best, it makes Jack Perry look like a pussy. At worst, it makes him completely justified in firing CM Punk, which himself he said he wanted to leave anyway. So who's that help?
To me, it's weird that you don't want to comment on anything CM Punk publicly, but then you want to do these kind of things. That to me is strange. That to me feels like you were hurt. You want to kind of like get back to him on your terms and kind of thing. And then also, literally no one who doesn't already watch the show is going to watch the show because of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not like leaking. This isn't fucking the fucking, what's the Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky tapes. Like, we're not leaking anything.
It was a tape.
I mean, not like the tape, but like audio recordings of the conversations.
All right.
But it's like, it's not anything there. Like, it's literally just whatever. This seems like a bad idea. Everyone is saying this seems like a bad idea.
It's a ratings ploy. It's a ratings ploy.
And the publications who are just like, they're not being shy about it. It's a ratings ploy. It's like, yeah, but this is still a bad. I don't see the benefit of it, but I don't know. We'll see what happens, right? Like, yeah. What are we going to see? GTV footage of him beating up people in the fucking thing? Like,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's also the Bucks narrating it. So that'll be fun.
This is the, I don't even think this is how they get, they can't do anything about CM Punk is not there. You're building towards nothing. You're facing FTR again.
They're narrating it, and they're the heels, by the way. They're narrating it, and we're expected to think that CM Punk was wrong for what he said on the Ariel show.
Show the Brawl In footage. Give me that. Narrate that.
Dead the NDA, and I'm a DM Punk, and we're going to get the mics hot, and we're going to talk about it.
If you follow up after that and say we're going to also show the footage from last week and we're clearing all the NDAs, show me that. Mm-hmm. I'll tune in for that. You know? So that happened, and it's still currently happening.
Right.
But then we got into WrestleMania Night 2, which by far the better night.
That intro gives me chills. I thought they did really good with the Meek Mill integration. And I was at night one, I was like, damn, they didn't do Dreams and Nightmares because they was waiting for night two. And I said, that's a good piece of they let a lot of the curses ride too. Like not like ride, but like they let the track kind of go a lot further than I thought they would. I mean,
they usually edit the shit out of it. Like,
yeah. They let it go. And again, who's in that booth? Of course, we got Imagine Dragons on one of the video pack. I think the Cody video package had Imagine Dragons. I say, yep, UFC now, boys.
Hey, we got one of my favorite Hayley Williams single songs, Simmer, for the Bailey and Io Sky one. I was like, oh shit, they actually used the shit.
Yeah, they killed it. I thought the intro was going to Nightmare to 39, saying the Nightmare was 39. I was like, oh man, that is, again, very, very good. Very, very good.
It's better than the Andre Day shit they used on.
I felt like that song meant something to Cody or something like that. Like I was like, all right, guys.
Where in 1960 in Montgomery, Alabama, in 1960? Like,
hey, this what y'all wanted? Hashtag y'all. This what y'all wanted. Y'all kept putting them next to Martin Luther King. This what y'all wanted. Yeah, we will rise up. All right, bro.
What did you think of the return of Stephanie McMahon this weekend?
Shocked. Shocked. What did you think of the return of Stephanie McMahon with the new theme?
They do some shit on that shit, I mean. They
did some stank on that joint. I said, okay.
Alan Grace, and then it was a guitar and shit. I was like, woo.
I heard Method Woman wants some more, nigga.
Like, is that Method Man on it? No, but I thought it was a great. I think I'm interested.
It's a united front.
Yeah.
It's a united front. It's a united front against Vince McMahon to show that.
My man era.
Yeah. Yeah. My man. Thank you too, my man. That shit.
I thought it was great. I thought she kicked off the show. I thought it was a surprise. I thought she was very much so welcomed. She ain't got no dirt on her name, so fuck that, you know? And it was just great. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love Stephanie McMahon. She's incredible.
I'm glad she's back. There's no kind of idea of what her role is. But I guess
She doesn't have a role. She's just out here supporting her husband. She's on her Brandy shit right now.
I wouldn't be shocked if she has something to do with like the women or something like that, or something to do with like the community outreach. I think that's probably the best fill for her. Did you notice? Did you notice Vince Linda was at the Hall of Fame?
Linda was at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, She was sitting behind, you know, where Punk, the row that Punk and them were sitting on. She was in the row behind that. She was there.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see that fucking at all.
Yeah, she was there. Okay, very interesting. Later.
Only one allowed in the building, huh? That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Night two kicks off World Heavyweight Championship match. Drew McIntyre defeats Seth Rollins. Oof. This wasn't much of a match, to be honest with you.
It was Tim. It was a sprint. It was a sprint.
I thought it was an ass whooping because I felt like all I remember, the only reports I remember is Drew McIntyre beating this man's ass. Great entrances. Great moment with Drew live tweeting, clearly not giving a damn. Great CM Punk commentary. This feud is real, isn't it? Isn't this a good ass feud?
It's what he wanted to do with the empty headed fuck, I think, in so many ways. Punk, this one match, Meals, set up four different storylines. One match, four stories, and nobody had to bleed and put their blood on a contract to do it, right? So you have Drew versus Punk. You already have Seth versus Punk. You have Drew versus Damian. You have Punk potentially versus Damian. You have Punk and Drew and Seth all going against each other. If that's the idea and whatever they do with the draft, which we'll just go ahead and say it now, the draft is in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. If that's what they're doing and they keep all these guys on one show, that's your summer right there.
Right.
Built that match. Honestly, that's your year built out right there with a couple of people in between for each guy. I think that's great. I think, again, we're starting to see the fruits of what Triple H says, that he plans these things out 6 to 8 months ahead. And I think he already has a plan for what's going to happen with these guys. And I'm very much kind of fucking with it. You had Drew here, 10-minute match, lots of claymores. Seth, again, clearly selling what happened to him the night before.
But Seth, it still took four claymores to beat him, which is crazy.
Seth, to me, is like the MVP of both nights. Because if you want to talk about somebody who lost everything in order to get to give, in this instance, he sacrificed everything to give two people a moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Drew and Damian. But later on, we'll talk about it again. But I love the moment where he tells Drew, "You fucking deserve it, man." You know what I mean? And he's crying. Drew hit him in the face hard way. He had a black eye. Like he really did hit him with one of those claymores. But CM Punk, Drew gets in his face. CM Punk says, "I can't hear you because I got cans on," and trips him, takes his cast off. How far away do you think Punk is from being fully physical in the ring?
Okay, I was gonna say they wouldn't allow him to do this if he wasn't clear anyway. But thank I you. Do think that, yeah. Well, but also I do think they would allow him to do this shit because they allow whoever they want to be able to do certain, like, this is the Rock cussing of the medical part. This is like him being, getting the leeway to be able to do a little bit more physical things, even though he isn't fully, like, hasn't been fully cleared to wrestle in the ring yet. But I do think.
How do you think this is different from when Vince asked him to come back when he was hurt?
Oh, this is way different. He was more crotchety and angry then. He was like, "Yo, I'm fucking hurt."
My
nigga, which fair enough because he was working. I think it's because he didn't get that day off for his friend's thing. And then they were like, "Can you come back early?" And he was like, "Fuck you." But here, he wanted to be so much part of this moment, and he was a major part of this moment. Like, Drew really got his. This is CM Punk having to watch Drew McIntyre win the championship he was supposed to be. He was supposed to pretty much win, maybe, in a match that he was supposed to be competing in. You're essentially watching the man who pretty much took you out accomplish all the things you didn't want to. And as Drew's trying to put him in his face, CM Punk, who is absolutely petty, takes him out. And then we hear the music of Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
And down comes Damian Priest in all his locks, if you want to call it that, which I guess he wouldn't. But The cash in. Great time to do it. Fuck it.
Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe it Raw after Mania. And I said, you know what? This is actually best because, again, Drew's obsession with Punk takes him down.
Yeah.
Awesome. The big thing with Drew's character is his unwillingness to kind of notice that he is the creator of all of his own downfalls. And I think that's the different type of heel than what we've seen, right? Like, we've never really seen a heel like this before.
Right.
And now we're getting to an area where, like, now it's actively, you know, he is becoming the arbiter of his own fate and poking the bear that is CM Punk. And here we see he loses the title. And to me, it makes him a bigger heel. He's kind of, to me, getting to that, like, top heel space. And I think that's where we're going to have a lot of fun with Drew McIntyre in the coming months.
I'm looking forward to CM Punk being back, and I'm looking forward to this feud so much. Because this is the pettiest shit. This is the most hater fucking feud that I've ever seen in my life. Like, they're costing them championships, costing them the Royal Rumble, costing them moments. They're like, yo, fuck you. Ugh, I loved it. I love the kickoff of the show. Not to be followed up by this, the Pride versus the Final Testament. Special guest referee Bubba Ray Dudley.
Looking like Alex Jones.
I want to ask you this question. Who was the MVP of this match?
4K. Karrion Kross.
Fuck out of here. It was Snoop Dogg.
Karrion Kross. Oh, yeah, him too. He was all right. Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross. What do you mean? I think they were all six having a lot of fun doing that, and I felt that they were all having, except maybe Bobby Lashley, because he felt like he should have been Cody, but I was having fun in that match, especially like Karrion being basically like, I'll be the guy to take all the bumps, because I think that that shit meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
Especially looking at like his promo afterwards, talking about his first times. I think really need to start airing some of the stuff that he does on the digital exclusives, because those are really good promos. I don't understand why they don't air them, but there's a promo he has afterwards where he says, you know, he talks about why he said he got what he deserved at Mania. And he said that I got what I deserved because the first time I went to Philadelphia, I beat up Tommy Dreamer and a bunch of his friends. Mm-hmm. And so this was my comeuppance for doing that. So, you know, he was like, you know what? Hats off to them. I deserve this. But I also win still, you feel me? Wink, wink, because Bobby got to see Montez pick up the win at the biggest night of the year. And I said, oh, he's putting the seeds of dissent down, brother. This is the second time he's mentioned Montez outshadowing Bobby Lashley. So there you have it. 4K, dude. Oh, also, I give
Seth, the best part of this match.
I give Seth Drew a B. I give this match a B. I thought it was fun. It was what it needed to be.
I give this match whatever Snoop Dogg gives this match. I can't tell you, because I've mentioned it so much, I cannot tell you how much I enjoy Snoop Dogg commentating on stuff. Whether it be boxing, whether it be this, whether it be videos. The fact he's just around at every WrestleMania.
He said, don't put your glasses on, Bubba.
Oh, no. That's the table they got from grandma's house. See? Watch out, girl. That's metal. You know what I'm saying? I was like, what?
Shout out B-Fab and Scarlett, too. Again, getting their own moment as well. That was pretty
Camero
cool,
almost, the camera damn near lost that spot. They were like second late. They called them as it was like, crash.
Really, the cameraman said, they're not really about to do this, right? And then it was like, no, they are. Go get them.
And then Snoop Dogg said, what happened over there? Oh, Lord, what happened over there? That was amazing. Next matchup, LA Knight versus AJ Styles, man.
What better the hell?
Better than it had any right to be.
Wow. They started in a sprint. It felt like there was some real hatred there. I for one also don't think this is going to be the last match between these two. This is the first match. There's no way it could be. AJ, again, another person who's in the best shape of his life, and he's also moving insanely well for, you know, all the mileage on his body and how slow he was moving the years before. Right. I thought he just looked great in this match. LA was working, brother. I was like, working. Damn. Damn,
for
brother.
Me, this was a match of two people who gave a damn. Like, yeah. They cared. They really were like, yo, we want to make this match feel special, look special, all types of other things. Like, they
though not his best Mania match, I thought this was AJ's, to me, kind of, I'm back. And in a lot of ways, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else he does with other talent as the year goes on. Cause he has mentioned, you know, this is like my last big contract and I'm done after this. So I want to see him kind of work with a lot of different talent. I think that again, you know, the main event scene is wide open now for him to actually face a lot more people that he hasn't faced before. Mm-hmm. But, it's going to be really cool to see LA Knight picks up the win here. A good thing. It was a good thing to do to give him the win. I thought it was a
choice. I'm gonna get us a B+. I feel like they did really good.
It was a B+. It was a B+. It was great. Yeah. I don't think there was. It wasn't sloppy. It wasn't bad. I thought that it was perfectly what it needed to be, and it was a brawling type match, which works in LA's favor, and it's also something that AJ Styles can do because he's so multifaceted.
Absolutely. Next matchup, triple threat match for the United States Championship. Logan Paul with I Show Speed. Yeah, Nick. I was like, what the fuck? Apparently, sidebar, Fightful Report, they dropped a couple of notes on this. They said they said something about the I Show Speed thing.
Yeah.
They said, fuck. Essentially was that all the great press and attention they got from it ended up superseding the fact that he cussed so much on fucking Peacock. They were like, all right, we'll take it. Whatever. He just did what he's supposed to do. WWE have been happy with the numbers that I Show Speed spot on WrestleMania drew for them. We're told it alleviated any heat of the F-bombs thrown. Can I say I love this match?
Yes, like, you can. I loved it too.
I was like, whoa. I didn't expect shit from this match at all. I expected them to just go out there and do whatever they did. This was a really good fucking match. Near falls, moments, viral moments, weapons, false finishes. Randy gets hit with the brass knucks, kicks out. A bunch of things. This was really, really good.
I think Logan Paul is here and we got to just stop. We got to accept it and stop questioning it. He does some really scary bumps. I will say that frighten me. That top rope suplex spot with KO. KO is a master for, because I think that at certain times Logan kind of gets scared to take the drops sometimes. Right. Same with Ricochet from 2 years ago. Right. And then it was like, just do it. I got you. You know what I mean? Like there is some fear there, but I think that the broad strokes, it worked. And I think that they booked, like, to me, Randy Orton in an NXT paced match. Cause this is exactly what this shit was. It was NXT pacing. Randy Orton in this position is wild. Like, it is crazy how good he was in something fast paced, but also for someone who is like a little bit more limited than he used to be, for him to still be able to hang. And KO did his job. I mean, he kicked out of a fucking brass knuckle spot. Randy Orton did. That was nuts. There were some kickouts there, but I think that again, the right person won. I think that you're going into a space where Logan Paul is they're giving him the reps as a champion. And I mean, I fully believe what he says. He said it on Pat McAfee's show. He said, wrestling is the you know, I'm super, he's like, this is my thing. I want to do this. You know what I mean? And it's different from your Bad Bunnies. It's different from your Ronda Rouseys. It's different from all of those in that, like, he kind of is showing up, is showing out. I like, would you say he's better than Ronda in the ring?
Yeah. Yeah, no offense, but yeah, like, Ronda's pretty good, but yeah, Logan's better. Logan is actually better. Low key, I'm giving this match an A.
It's an A. It's an A.
It's an A. Everyone did what they supposed to do. I enjoyed it. Everything like that. To be honest with you, it's pretty much like low key A's from here on. That's how good the second night was. Like, everything was hitting in a different way. Like, it just, we're getting to the next match now, which is Bayley finally defeats Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship. We had a great, you know, kind of like back and forth match. It was a great moment for Bayley, first of all. I think everyone sings her praises. Triple H sang her praises. Everyone was talking about, oh, you know, this should have been the main event, blah, 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 blah. Nonetheless, we got the moment. Bayley got the moment she was supposed to get. This match was incredible.
Woo! Remember I said Roxanne and Lyra? They had it for 24 hours. This was the match that knocked it out. They knocked this one out the park. I think you got to see some real Joshi stardom shit in this. We already knew Bayley. Her jersey's in the rafter. That's without a question. She had a 3-star with Tamina. I think with this, she had close to a damn 5-star with Io. And I think if they gave it a little bit more time, it would be better.
This was like, it's so wild because I'm like, yo, she's here. She made it. Like WrestleMania. Like, that's like me a number of years ago when AJ Styles made it to WrestleMania. I was like, yo, Io Sky really made it to WrestleMania. She's walking in the champion, big time match, right before the main event. Have this the flip thing? Come on now.
The counter to the Rose Plant. We will not. I'll never see anything that incredible. And I was like, it's over. And I said, wait, it's not over?
That was bad bitchery on another level. That was.
Bro, people sleep on Io because she doesn't defend a lot, or she didn't defend a lot, but she's still one of them ones. And I think that in terms of this title run, it did a lot for her. I really do think it did. She, to me, is definitely still at the top of the women's division as well in terms of performers. I think that she proved that she could hang. You got to think, this is her first WrestleMania singles match, Mills. There's going to be a lot of years. And she got a better, she going to end up getting a better record than Asuka, I hope.
Right, pretty much.
Like, it's the sky's the limit for her. But on Sunday, it was Bayley's time. It was her time. You know what I mean? And I think we're going to look at this match. We're going to look back at this, and it's going to mean a fucking lot, man. It's going to mean a lot for Bayley, for the women's division as well. If this is the level of what we're going to be getting with these new women coming up, it's going to be crazy. And we've got so many matchups that can happen with Bayley as well, especially on the women's division. I honestly hope they keep her on SmackDown because there's so many ways she can go with that title.
I agree. I mean, given everything that's going to happen with this draft, it makes me interested in where shit's going to go. Like, they could very well just say, oh, Judgment Day's on SmackDown now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to move everyone else to Raw, and we're going to figure this out after here, there. Like, this is very, very interesting. But shout out to Bayley, always been the GOAT. Again, another defining moment. I give it an A,
by the way.
I give it an A as well. It's time for the main event, though.
Mm-hmm. I watched the whole hour of this yesterday. I watched it again.
How did you feel about it second time?
I saw a reviewer say that he felt as though, like, technically last year's match was the better match. This year's match was the better spectacle. And I understand that. But I think that the reason why this is better is because as a conclusion, the finality of it makes it better to me. I feel like last year was very much the beginning of a story. And as an ending of a story, the callbacks on this match are amazing. And these are the reasons why I think that it's great. It was a three-act structure, Mills.
Yeah.
And the acts were broken up by the crossroads. They were broken up by the crossroads that he was not able to hit, right? Last year, he couldn't hit the third one. He hit one, he hit two, he couldn't hit the third one. This year, he hit the first one, Jimmy comes out.
Right.
That's a moment, part of the structure. They continue having the match. They had like a 15-minute match before all of the stuff like started happening also. He hit two of them, and he said, well, last year I hit two. Let me look behind me to my left. Let me look to my right. Solo comes out the other way. that moment happens. That moment was crazy because he took the spear spike, and I said, "Holy shit!"
Yeah.
But kicks out of that too, and then you have the rigmarole of the second act happening, and then the third act is where it ends with the three, and I think that everything in between that mattered because it in a way that pro wrestling rarely ever does, and I think of the Kenny Omega Tetsuya Naito G1 finals match where he does the finishers of all of the Bullet Club members before him, right? And that to me is a structure where it pays to know what happened before and to pay homage to what was before. This match paid homage to at least 20 to 30 years of WrestleMania history, Cody's history, Roman's history, okay? All of that in one. This was the better match. This was, to me, one of the best WWE matches I've ever seen in my life. And I think it was superior. I think it's superior to the first one in every way because of those things.
So I think both matches are supposed to be just essentially painting a different kind of picture, right? Like, you can't really replicate, or nor do you really want to replicate the match that you had before. I think of, like, when you think of these WrestleMania main event rematches, one that stands out to me in the most recent one, to be honest with you, is the John Cena versus The Rock one. Where essentially, other than the finish, you really can't tell me what happened in either match.
Yeah.
I think with Triple H's booking, and we've seen him do this a couple years later, or at least a couple years earlier, he did it with a series with The Undertaker. He had a really intense match, the first one, and then he kind of changed the way, just how it was artistically presented in the second one with that Hell in a Cell. I think this Bloodline Rules thing was to tell a story in a different, unique way that stands out on its own in terms of, like, when you think of these matches. When you think of the WrestleMania 39 match, you'll never get it confused with the WrestleMania 40 match. You'll never, just from visually of how it looks and genuinely how you feel about it, you won't feel the exact same way after both matches. And I think that was a very intentional point with how they put this all together. The spectacle of this, I kind of wonder sometimes, is like, do they go into this knowing these are also going to be viral moments, and let's have this, like, viral moment within the match? Because the John Cena thing, the Undertaker thing, all that stuff made viral, incredibly viral moments. This match was incredible. In a just amazing way, and
I was texting you throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I was like, I can't believe you didn't think Cody was gonna. Well, not that you didn't think Cody was gonna win, but you're just like, I'm scared. I'm just like, I don't know, bro. Like, this feels very Cody coded. It finally ended.
They did everything. I mean, we knew it would be like the revolving door of guest spots, Jay and Jimmy paying that off. The Rock coming at Cena coming out. That was pop of the night until literally 2 minutes later, right? Like, it was everyone coming in to, like, kind of make this a bigger moment. And I've seen a lot of people say, like, oh, well, you know, this specific part didn't make sense or whatever. I'm just like, listen, it all made sense because they made it make sense. You know what I mean? Like, it all made sense because they forced it to at that moment. If it wasn't going to be Austin, that's fine. They got Undertaker. He'll do anything for a check, right?
Right.
But it still got the moment. You know what I'm saying? It still popped it off. Austin ain't the type of person that would do that that's not his character. That's not his character to kind of, like,
I never thought he was fucking do that. If it's not really about, like, him.
Like, yeah, it's not about him. You know what I mean? Like, Taker was, to me, Taker was like, remember the tape fists? You know what I mean? And all that stuff. Like, he was the locker room, like, kind of like, he was the Judgment Day in the locker room at one time. And then Roman also beat him at 33. Rock and him had there was history there. You know what I mean? And they brought all of that back. The Cena, Rock, Austin, Hogan moment where they're basically saying, this is our Hogan. and this is still The Rock. You know what I mean? That was cool. It was, again, the meeting of the guys. It was all top guys in that ring between top guys. It wasn't like no BS. You feel me? And special shout out to Roman Reigns. I said it in night one. He came to work. He came to fucking work. They were working. Right. You know? That was real fucking work. Him hitting the crossroads. This move sucks. This move ain't beat nobody. Paul said, I just want to rub it in his face. He was like, as you can, my tribal chief. I thought that was fucking great. It was a love letter. And to me, it seemed like, again, it was him saying goodbye to this character or this iteration of his character. And we saw it for 4 years and it worked and it had so much. Again, our numbers, WWE's numbers have never been better. I'm pretty sure every podcast on Earth's numbers have never been better because of him.
Yeah. Yeah. This was some big movie shit, bro.
Yeah.
Like, this is all the heroes coming together to beat the massive villain at the end. And even at, like, near the end, he brings out that other bigger villain to kind of like, oh my God, the odds are stacked against him in this way. And you have all the callbacks of all the characters who've been affected along the way, all the people who have been, incorporated in this storyline. And then it's Cody as the kind of like hero who, even after going through what they did, I'm reading the My Hero Academia manga, and it's almost over. They're getting very, very close to the end, and it's some fucking amazing shit going on. And this is kind of like what reminds me of this. Like, it's like this kind of like cinema, very like telling the story, and you feel it. And I think the entire crowd also felt it.
They were down for the ride. There was not a soul in that arena or that stadium that was pro-Roman. I saw ones up. It was 90-10. They wanted to see the change. They were ready to see it. And at that point, or at this point of the show, it was like they've seen so many things. And they were ready for this match, and they got one of the best matches they've ever seen. Again, like, there's no doubt that this is one of the greatest WrestleMania main events and finishes of all time. There's just no doubt in our minds of that. And if you go back and for years, 3-4 years ago, if you told me this was going to be the outcome, I would have told you were crazy. But it all seems right. If you look at this in totality, from 2020 to 2024, this is one of the greatest wrestling stories of all time. Cody defeating Roman Reigns in the end of it. The returning Cody Rhodes does it to fill his destiny. I see a lot of people, Mill, saying, well, I don't know what they're going to do now, or they can't do it. I don't know if they can read. They don't have to. They don't have to, because at the end of the day, the goodwill gained from this created new fans that will stick with them until it's time for another one of these to happen in 10, 15 years, 40 years down the line. That's just what it is. You can't expect. Listen, you know why it's not going to be the same? Because Cody isn't going to hold this title for 1,000 days, period. And that's a good thing. It's time for other people to get that title. But I say, in terms of just that win and everything that happened afterwards, I love they kept the cameras on for an extra 15 minutes. I loved it that, you know, everything that they did after the fact. It just meant so much. Cody's entrance. We didn't even talk about that. Did you hear that pop for Brandy? That was crazy.
That was crazy.
And you know what? Like, we talked a lot of shit about Brandy, but like, and Cody mentioned this too, like, he felt as though she was scapegoated for a lot of the things that went wrong in AEW. And he's right. He really is. And I think that as much as it was a shining moment and rehab for him, that was a rehab for her to share that moment with him and all of that. The skull mask, all of that stuff. Like, that was just really dope, man. It was awesome. Everything about the match was awesome. I could watch it a million times. I give it an A+. Match of the year so far.
I agree. Match of the year, moment of the year, finishing the story. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic show. Fantastic show.
Raw. Mm-hmm. Raw was, to me, Raw was like a celebration. Like, look at us.
Yeah.
Look at what we got here. Look at the cast of characters we have brought along this ride for you. Let's chill for a moment.
Yeah, they say, nigga, we tired. But I know some niggas that ain't tired.
20,000 people. Look at us. 20,000 people for Raw, bro.
Commercial free first hour. also.
First of all, that first, that first hour was a long ass fucking hour.
With 8 Up was devoured by Philly. Was not, this is the real Philly last night.
Yeah.
There wasn't no question about what they wanted to see, who they was feeling. There was no doubt about what they wanted to see last night, and it was not Dwayne Johnson at all. They wasn't feeling it.
But he set up. He was like, listen, we setting this up for the future. When do you think Cody versus The Rock happens?
How long does it take to film a movie? 3 months, maybe?
I was thinking Netflix debut.
Makes sense. It has to be a big moment. I think that obviously is where you could go. The only issue is with that meal is that I don't want to, like, is Rock going to be at Mania again next year? And is Mania,
I think it will be.
Is Cody Rock the Mania main event? And in which case you'll say Rock takes it from him on Raw, and then he gets it back at Mania, right?
I think Rock, Cody, Netflix, Roman is not happy with The Rock. I think we're heading towards Roman Rock next year.
Okay. Okay.
And I think this is just a stop along the way. This is like, yo, what the fuck are you doing?
I honestly think Roman will stay heel also for the foreseeable future. I do. Or at the very least falling apart. You know what I mean?
Like, who's the big, I guess who, if Roman wasn't heel, who would be the biggest heel on the show?
On SmackDown?
On just in WWE. It might be Drew.
Drew, Logan. I'm talking in order. Drew, Logan. They're setting Judgment Day up to potentially like change very soon.
Yeah.
Drew, Logan, AJ could be another one. I don't know. I don't envy them trying to set up some of these guys, but they've set it up pretty well that there could be someone that could fill in that power vacuum. But we didn't see Roman on Raw. You think Friday will be the moment he comes back? Cody will be on Raw for the foreseeable couple weeks until the draft.
I think, no, I don't think we see Roman on Friday.
Okay.
I don't think we see him until he's ready to come back. Like, I think it's best to keep him off TV. You can kind of just say, like, he just disappeared. Because essentially he does disappear into the night, right? Like, he has that moment on stage where he's very emotional. He cries. I think that should be the lasting image. More than him, like, giving it up to Cody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or, like, trying to do this thing over again. Like, let's let the moment breathe a little bit. Let's let Cody's reign breathe a little bit. Let's give someone else an opportunity for once. Mm-hmm. And then he can always figure his way back into the picture. The moment he comes back, he's back in the picture. So I don't think he has anything to worry about. But Cody with that championship looked weird as hell. I was like, boy, look at that. It's too big for you, bro.
and like, not weird like to me in a bad way, but weird, but like, no. Damn, I've never like seen this. Right. I haven't seen this in a while. I don't really know how to feel. I don't know how to feel. It feels very odd. It feels like we're in a new era almost. But what'd you feel about the Rock segment in general? It went about 40 minutes. Of course, Cody gets his victory lap and that goes uninterrupted. And I think that for something as big as that I'm completely fine with that. The Rock, though, aimless, doesn't even.
Yeah, I was like, what was the point of this? But I think it only went longer because of the crowd, to be honest with you. Yeah. Like, I think it really did. But yeah, I didn't know where the fuck. He handed him some $7 or some shit like that. I don't know.
What was that?
Yeah, I don't fucking know. You'd think they would tell us, but I don't know. Story, I guess, right?
I thought when he got to the point, it was good. When he got to like the, you know.
Can I hold that?
And people were like, no, yeah, like there was this is awkward chance. Like I thought that was like, awkward. It was, but you kind of got to let him do what he wants to do. I'm just like, all right, again, this what y'all wanted. Hashtag y'all.
This
y'all
is part. I think it's just part of the. This is Rock declaring that he's going for the world title. He couldn't really before because he acknowledged his tribal chief. But now this is The Rock, like, really trying it on, seeing how it feels, and saying, you know what? I like this.
Will this ruffle the feathers of one Roman Reigns at that point?
It has to.
Yeah.
It has to. He's seeing himself usurped again. So we'll see how it goes. But this Raw really wasn't, it wasn't really like a thing. Like, it was,
it was better than last year. Like, come on, let's.
Yeah, it was better than last year, but I'm talking about, like, lots of major, I mean, it had storyline advancements for a few things, but it wasn't like crazy, crazy.
But they had been working these niggas for so long over the week. I completely understand, and I salute them. Like, Cody, this is the only segment you saw Cody for the rest of the night. And I said, yeah. I completely understood. Seth wasn't even on the show. Completely understood.
He's out for the next 4 weeks, supposedly.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, there was a report that he's going to sit out for the next 4 weeks.
Good. He looked hurt at the end of the show. He looked
legitimate. We didn't even talk about the handshake, but the handshake was big.
Yeah, the handshake was big, and I'm glad that that was the moment the show ended on.
Yeah.
But again, I mentioned his sacrifices. We didn't even mention the chair shot, the callback. Again, Roman's defining moment of the character that he became ends up being his undoing again. Just the layers of how that works. He could have hit Cody, but he chose to stick it to Seth one more time, and that was his undoing. And I thought that that was an incredibly poetic way to end that. You know, with Cody letting go of all the things that, you know, held him back, and Roman still not being able to let go of his. And
right.
Just incredible. Just really, really incredible. Damn, no Seth for 4 weeks. Becky too, huh? Or are they just letting her recover?
I'm just assuming it's going to be Becky too. But I don't know. I don't know. I figure a lot of these people we can see when the draft starts drafting again.
Yeah.
But because we don't, Becky don't need to be here. We saw Damian Priest and Judgment Day celebrate their kind of like victory, their victories. Damian Priest is now the world heavyweight champion. Rhea Ripley still world heavyweight champion in her own right. The main event, though, crowned a new number one contender for the world heavyweight championship, and that new number one contender is Jey Uso.
Really good main event, y'all. Very good. What did you feel about Jey Uso winning, though?
I was like, what? Okay. All right. Cool. I thought it was going to be Ricochet. I was like, oh, this is, all right, we're speedballing this. This is kind of crazy. Okay.
Right.
And then it's Jey Uso. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I guess he's over. Yeah, he's rocking. You got the crowd rocking. I feel him. How did you feel about it?
It's some backlash, Grant. I think this is all set up for some more bloodline stuff. I don't think Jimmy's done with him yet. It didn't seem like they were going to be each other. Yeet. Huh?
The wee yeet yeet? I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah. Wheat.
Wheat. You're fucking retarded. CM Punk costing Drew McIntyre that match, though, was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was great. That was great. And again, Punk having the time of his life. They don't need to be putting that footage out.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, bro, whatever.
Let it go.
let's see. Great moment with John Cena, The Miz, and R-Truth defeating Judgment Day. That was awesome. Great NXT debuts.
Ilya declared himself for the draft. He declared himself for the draft as well.
Listen, I kind of called it. I was like, listen, NXT champion don't mean he not going to be thing. But if I had a guess, I don't know. Maybe they put on Don. I don't know.
Something screw is going to happen, but remember, NXT people are main roster folks can now be drafted to NXT now. That was the kind of the prevailing idea that a lot of people got from what happened last night. So who knows? It could be very, 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 very interesting come the 26th or 27th. of this month. But yeah, again, strong show. It was kind of a hangover show. Just a feel good show to let people go home happy. And I think as far as WrestleMania weekend, I mean, it's without question, it was a success. And I'm fucking on the moon. This is exciting. I'm ready to go for another year in WWE.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, this is really awesome. So, great Raw, great WrestleMania, great weekend, just great everything in general. Let's keep looking forward. Let's keep moving forward.
Yes, sir. But yeah, that is the show. I'm gonna get out of here. Enjoy the rest of my birthday.
Absolutely, man. Enjoy the rest of your birthday, bro.
I will, of course. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for listening to our 5-hour show last week. Thank you guys for engaging in us. And we look forward to another year of this for you guys and with you guys. So for Meals, I'm Justin. We'll see you guys later on the A Show. Peace.